4VWA. Monitoring.
KR4TJQ. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hey, big guy. Where you been? Appreciate it if you wouldn't use those four little words around me.
Bills to keep those under my roof happy.
Yeah, I hear you. Man, I tell you what, I'm pretty much retired now, and it is nice. I'm in here this morning, I'm doing and playing around with my radios and doing a bunch of stuff on the computer, and I don't have to be anywhere this morning. It's nice.
I'm in your same shoes, but I cannot sit around. I've got to constantly be doing something. So, I try to stay busy.
I know what you mean there. I'm always doing something. Matter of fact, tomorrow I got to go pull some shrubbery and some trees out from around my daughter and son-in-law's new house. And I got my granddaughter coming tonight. And got to go look at some furniture with my wife when she gets off of work today at noon. They keep me busy.
Finally found some property to build on. I know me and you talked at one time before about that.
They changed their approach, and we found them a house. So they were living in a little house that I owned over here on New Cut Road. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the doggone thing I ever seen. Little 1,000-square-foot house on 6/10 of an acre on New Cut. We found their house, and it was going to be 6 weeks before they could get in it. Well, the realtor asked me if I wanted to sell that little house. I said, sure do. Well, she put it on the market that Friday morning. At noon, she had 6 offers. And I had to move the kids out of that house into my house until we could get them moved into their new house.
I live where you are. I learned last week or the week before last they're getting ready to put in, I've heard 85 and I've heard 95 houses right there on a good joint.
Listen, right now, if you look around and you see a nice little large piece of property that's been scraped off, son, you might as well be planning on a whole bunch of houses put in there. Matter of fact, do you know where the park on New Cut is, just south of Mount Lebanon?
I'm very familiar with it, yes.
Fields, they just started in on there, and I'm going to tell you what, they're throwing them up faster than cracker boxes.
I don't know what I don't know about the zoning or the lack thereof. I remember, and the good thing, I should say the good thing, but we're just inside of Greenville County, and you've got to have a public hearing on a subdivision, but just across the line in the Spartanburg, you do what you want to.
Well, there's a little more to it than that. See, out in where you are, you got to have a septic tank. Over in Spartanburg County, you got to have a septic tank. Well, in Greenville County, you turn in the proposal for the subdivision. But in Spartanburg County, they make you do a layout for all the septic tanks and all the electrical layout. And they don't really approve the subdivision. They just approve all the infrastructure before you can get it.
I'm not so sure that the infrastructure currently in place can handle all the growth.
With all the folks that are coming in here right now from up in the northeast and out west, the projections I have heard is that we're going to max out on power and on water within the next 36 months. And they're going to start clipping permits. You know, you just can't go that fast. And, hey, all that energy is just not out there. And, oh, hey, you did hear about GM, didn't you?
I've been out of town and busy as a retiree working, so I did not hear anything, no.
GM made the announcement that after the 2023 year, manufacturing year, there will be no more internal combustion engines in anything from a 1500 series truck down. And they say if they can get the technology up to speed for the 25 and 3500s, there won't be any more internal combustion 25 or 3500s. So, looks like I'm going to be driving an antique pretty soon. And I'll tell you something, there is another issue. Because, we don't generate enough power right now.
Call free. Hang on, let me grab this phone call.
Yeah, standing by.
KJW Mobile.
KJW, KN4VWA. Is it here yet, Dad?
Been shipped yesterday.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You know who used to say that, don't you?
I remember hearing it. I don't know who said it.
Lawrence Welk. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Boy, that's a blast from the past. They still play him on PBS on Saturday afternoons. So what are you doing out and about, Bubba?
Well, I fired Waste Management last week, so today's my second trip to O'Neill as the primary waste manager of the house. But I'm going by the store to pick up, I got to get some gas. Too many trips to the airfield, ran out of tank of gas. So I just thought I'd say good morning for a second. I'll be back after I pump gas, but you'll probably be talking to whoever you were talking to after their phone call when I get done. But anyway, I'm stepping out to pump gas. KN4VWA, W4DJW. Good morning.
Good morning, big guy. And, at least you still have management control over some subjects.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yep. Yep. Matter of fact, I made my trip over to the Landrum dumping station yesterday evening. And, yes, I am the management authority for all refuse and recycling. Now, you recycle, right?
Cardboard, that's about it. Stepping out the pump gas. I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW.
WA, standing by.
For DJW, mobile.
WWA, he's back.
To the airfield last fall, summer, last summer and fall cost me $38. I'm just now having to pay for it.
Fuel, one tank of fuel in there since when?
I don't remember when the last time, probably sometime in November, maybe? I don't know. The only thing I ever use it for is going to the dump and going flying. And I didn't even use it for going flying until we started flying over the summer.
Hey, you're talking about in your pickup.
It's the 96 pickup that's got 35,000 miles on it now. 1996 with 35,000 miles.
Wow. Well, did you get all the maintenance done on it back to where it's acceptable again?
Yeah, it's running really good now. Nathan did it. Johnny's son, Nathan Allison, he put a new master cylinder on it and bled all the brakes down. I think he put new pads on the front and a new battery in it and did some other things to it. It's running good. It's running like a brand new 1996 pickup.
That's great. Hey, let me ask you something real quick. I'm going to check the depths of your memory. When we were flying the Bloody Wonder, the elevator was not great enough at 30%, and it was too much at 60% on the center position, and was it too much at 85? Where were we on that?
been thinking about that myself. I'm glad you brought that up, because it was like at sometimes at 100% it was too much, and at 60% it was too little. And that just doesn't make sense. But being nose heavy, that helps to explain it a little bit, but not completely. I was thinking about it the other day, yesterday, I think. And I was thinking maybe that servo is fatiguing. And maybe the servo doesn't have the... And it's only when you really need it that it fatigues. Kind of like what Glenn was talking about the other day with too much power, put so much of a drain on your system. You know, you bump up the power on your handheld, but it does more harm than good because you can't supply the voltage. Maybe it's that servo. I don't know. What do you think?
It was more of a problem of the center of gravity on the nose heavy. Because like you said, it just dropped out and you didn't have enough elevator, period, to, you know, let it come in. It just nosed down. So I had it set at 30, 60, and 85. Now, I know the spread from 85 to 60 was not great enough. So was the 85% at the greatest movement enough?
When you're flat and level and you pull back hard on the elevator, then, and you had it set at the full throw, then it would have a tendency to snap and roll to one side or the other, which you don't want, right? Which being nose heavy prevents that. Normally being nose heavy prevents that. Being tail heavy, that'll happen way too soon. It'll snap instead of pulling the nose up. When you're on your side, when I roll it over to the side and the wings are perpendicular to the earth, and I pull really hard on it, then it's not so much, there's no stress on the elevator servo when you're doing that, none. And it would turn, it would be just fine. So under certain flying conditions, it was great. It was easy at high, great, and at medium. When I didn't require a whole lot of oomph from the servo to turn the airplane. But when my wings were level and it required, you know, the servo to do some actual work to move the body of the airplane around, not when you're on knife edge and the wings are doing the movement of the airplane, but the actual tail is doing the movement of the, when you're level and the tail's doing the movement, that's when it would show up as really not working, no matter how much I had, right? And not really snap stalling. I mean, snap, not dropping the wing off, just flat out not working. You know, I told you, I'm banging the stick against the, it's all, the plane is still going down, remember?
Yes, sir, yes, sir. All right, well, listen, where we were was 85, 60, and 30. So I'm changing it up just a little bit, giving us more spread between, and I've made it now 85, 55, and 40. So I think that's going to give us a little more even spread across the tail movement on the elevator.
So I don't think the center position was ever too much, and it was, under certain conditions, not enough. So now you're taking away, you're making it even more not enough because you're taking away from the center position instead of encroaching on the danger of the high position, but not getting all the way to the danger of the high position. I think you went the wrong way with the center position. I think it needs more, not less.
Okay, well, see, that's what I was trying to remember. All right, I'm going to change that up to 70 from 60, and what do you think about the top? Think I'd just change it back to 100%? Because that's a lot.
Just so that we have that to ramp it up on its side and pull full up elevator. If you ramp it to its side and you pull full up, you know, you go knife edge and pull full up, and it snaps out to one side, then that's a CG thing, right? The nose is pushing down too hard. The elevator's trying its best, and something's got to give, and what it does is drop a wing. But if you do that, and we pull it, put it on the side, and we pull up, and it comes around, then to me, it's the servo stalling, not the CG. I mean, the CG's contributing, but I don't think it's the only thing.
All right. Well, in that case, I'm going to go ahead and try the I'm just going to bump up the top one. I'm going to bump it up to 90, and I'm going to leave the middle at 70, and in the bottom at 40. So I'm going to give that a try. I think that might just smooth it out a little bit on the spread. So, and we'll get, I've already figured out the CG issue. I've got the CG changed, so it ought to be fine.
So, once you get all that done, put it on a flat level surface, put one of your 1300 batteries on the elevator and pull full up and see how fast it goes up. And then put two of them on there and pull up. And then put three of them on there and pull up. And see how much it takes to stall the servo. Don't pull the control horn out of the control surface though. If it looks like it's going to be too much, you know, stop. Stop before you break some.
These are moderately new servos, so they should be fine, but I will load them and see how they do.
Yeah, even if you just put your finger on them, pull up just to get a feel of it, how much oomph does it have? If you can tell, because brand new servos can be bad too, but you can feel if it's fatiguing way sooner than it should.
All right, we're good enough. Well, I've got two receivers down there ready to go, and man, I am. Is it here yet, Dad?
Oh, for that, yeah. I'm kind of anxious for that, too. Those are kind of fun. That's where you go out and just have fun flying. You're not nervous. It's not like a Bloody Wonder or anything like that. It's those are just easy to fly, fun to fly. But if you're not careful, you get bored with them. That's why we're going to put flight controllers in them and goggles. Anyway, 5 to 7 days.
Wonderful, wonderful. It's going to be like Christmas. Coming slow.
Here at the landfill, I got, or at the collection center, recycling center, and this is a good time of the day to come because I'm not going to have to wait for anybody. I've got an open slot. I'll see you in a little bit if you're still there. W4DJW.
Well, hey, just be careful out there because when I showed up over at the landfill dumping station yesterday, they were just pulling a pickup truck out of a parking place. The whole place had been wet down, and the truck had caught fire and had an electrical fire. You never know. All right, bud, get her done. I'll be on standby.
For TJQ, Steve, I'm back with you.
Yes. Hey, listen, you know, you're not very far from the flying field.
357.
It's over there, you know, Jordan Road, where Jug Factory crosses? It's right there.
Boy, I know where you're talking about now. I thought there was one over off of 357. I've seen a bunch of RC guys out there.
Oh, yeah. I know where you're talking about. Yeah, that's a bunch of guys that get together and fly, but that's not actually a club. That's a private individual that flies over there. Yeah, he has a bunch of folks that comes in and they fly together over there and they have a good time. And, yeah, that's another bunch. Kind of right there at Holly Springs Fire Department, isn't it?
Affirmative.
Yep. Well, we're up there where between Jug Factory and Mount Lebanon on Jordan Road is what I call Sloan International Airport. There's some ultralights, and we've got our club that flies out of there, too. So, you're going to have to come out and fly with us sometime.
The thing that I've got that's remote-controlled is a drone, and I use it sometimes. I use it more for work than I do for hobby. But, no, I do not need to pick up another hobby. I'll come watch you, but do not even try to get me in that.
Hey, you've got an open invitation to come on out with us. I tell you what, it's fun. Matter of fact, what my friend there was just talking about, we have purchased a couple of aircraft that are just, you know, kind of like trainer slow flyers, that we're going to put FPV goggles on, which means it's a set of goggles and it's first-person view, and we're going to mount cameras in the nose of the aircraft, and it'll be just like flying in a real airplane.
Listening to the two of you talk about flying, it sounds like I'm listening to a bunch of aeronautical engineers.
I'm far from that, but I tell you what, you get into it, and it really does get fun. It's a blast, and man, you can fly everything that. Well, I'll give you an example. I've got two airplanes that just look real. I got a Cessna 182, and I've got what's called a MAUL, an MAULE. It's a short field STOL aircraft that they use in the bush. And man, I tell you, they're just fun.
W4FCM, this is my son here from Maine. Nope, W4FCM, son. That's W4FCM.
He's just sleeping late. He'll be up there in a minute. Yeah, you just going to have to come out and take a watch sometime, and just come on out and have some fun. It really is fun.
Still flying there at Pelham Road and 85 behind the bank.
I started all that COVID testing from the hospital across the road there, and I haven't seen anybody out there in quite a while. I couldn't tell you whether they're still flying out there or not.
Well, there you're limited to altitude by virtue of being so close to the airport.
You know, you're not supposed to fly within the apron, not the apron, but the outer limits of the approach anyhow. And I always wondered about that, but apparently they didn't show up on radar. And our ceiling for these radio-controlled aircraft is 400 feet anyhow.
I first got the drone that I have, was flying it here in the on the property. For the longest time, I had to go in there and figure out how to adjust my maximum ceiling, because years back, there used to be an airport here called Campobello Airport, and it still shows up on the GPS map. But obviously, you can't land there now. I thought it was very funny.
I didn't know about that airport. Where was it?
On to Jug Factory off of Good Joy, coming back towards Greer, or back towards Greenville County. Right before you cross into Greenville County, on the right-hand side, there's a big pasture there. It's owned by three different people. It's kind of cut up, actually. But anyway, it was right there. Negative on Jug Factory. Turn off of Good Joy. Back, turn left, coming back towards Greer, back towards Jordan Road, and it's there on the right. If you get into Greenville County, you've gone too far.
But I never knew about that one. Now, there used to be one over there on, I believe it's 101 and near Fuse Chapel Road. Remember that one?
It's still there and still in operation, but I don't know if they're going to have to shut it down. Maybe not. I don't know. Because if you're facing that strip to the left of there, they just cut a big, huge road there. They're getting ready to build what? Yes, another subdivision.
Another subdivision. Well, you know what? I don't think they're going to have to shut it down for the simple reason that is a registered airfield. And it's on the charts, and it was there first. So if they put a bunch of houses up in against it, hey, they're just going to have to live with it. It's kind of like the Greer Dragway. A bunch of people went in there and tried to shut down the Greer Dragway and absolutely shut it down totally, permanently. And the judge told them, says, well, you knew it was there when you built. So, enjoy.
Because there is a paved airstrip right off of West Norby Road. East Norby Road.
Sir, as you come up 290, you turn left on Darby, and there on the left as you go out that way, it's there on the left, and that man's got him a house out there like you wouldn't believe.
We were in there doing some work back during the summer. It was probably July, and he gave us a tour of his house. And it's all concrete on the inside. It's quite remarkable what he's doing to it.
Cable County did not have any code inspectors that knew what they were doing to try to inspect that, I can assure you. Now, I tell you what. Now, did you go down through the tunnel under the runway to get to it?
Affirmative. He's got two entrances. Yeah, we went through the tunnels to get to it, yes.
That's interesting. Hey, what? Give me your call sign one more time. It's KO4TLQ. What is it?
Tango Juliet, Quebec.
Couldn't remember all of it. Doggone, my memory is, well, I won't say what my memory is like here lately.
Would be kind enough and return the same favor and give me yours, because I've got it written down somewhere, but my memory's nowhere near as good as it needs to be.
It's KN4VWA, Kilo, November 4, Victor Whiskey Alpha, and it's Steve.
I had the majority of it right, so now I'll commit that one just to forget it tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, I've always thought myself kind of an oddball. You could tell me your phone number one time, and I won't see you again for 6 months, and I wouldn't be able to call your name for nothing, but I'll remember your phone number. Just something about numbers are a logic progression, and names are an abstract concept.
I feel bad because the only thing that I can remember... And it's the same thing with a name. I can't remember names that well, but for some reason, if you give me your birthday, I can remember it.
How about that? Yeah, I used to be in business for myself doing medical equipment, and I never really bothered using the phone book in my phone, as a database. Because I could see a phone number pop up, and I knew who it was. I had to sit there and think, who's working there? The name of the person working there. But I knew what clinic it was.
I can remember a few phone numbers, but we've gotten so used to having numbers stored in our phone under a name. That girlfriend of mine, Siri, I let her remember all of them for me.
Yeah, my wife calls her Lola. My GPS girlfriend is Lola. She teases me about that.
Car. 2 months ago, my wife was angry when she found out that she couldn't put Sam Elliott's voice on the GPS. She was ready to get rid of the car and buy something else.
Oh, man. Hey, I had a friend of mine that used to work out at BMW, and he was an MCSE, Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer. And the boy could talk in code. I mean, he was just amazing. And he figured out a way to go into his GPS. He had a Garmin. And he figured out a way to get into that Garmin and reprogram some of the voice prompts. And it was so hilarious. We'd be riding down the road, we'd get to talking, and we'd miss a turn, and that thing would come on and says, "Hey, stupid, turn around, you missed your turn."
Mark, when you can do that.
He, He's quite different. he hasn't got enough common sense to scratch his elbow. Yeah, I'll give it to you this way. When he goes to scratch his elbow, he scratches his right palm with his left hand and then applies it to his elbow. Good a friend as you ever want to meet, I tell you. Yep, I haven't talked to him in about 4 or 5 months. I got to give the boy a call, see what's going on with him. Of computer whizzes, are you back in there, Dave? W4DJW. Yeah, I hope Dave didn't fall in over at the dumping station. So, anyhow, it's always something, I tell you. Oh, well, so where are you headed off to today?
At a law firm at 1 o'clock in Greenville. I'm going to go to Cabela's to spend some Christmas and birthday gift cards. And then I think I'll come home and wait for the snow to fall.
Hey, I hope you're not disappointed on the snow. And just don't go into that lawyer's office packing, man. I tell you, it would be just too great a temptation.
I can go in there packing, all will be okay.
That great tragedy out in Colorado, didn't you?
Negative.
Tour bus out there. Just full of lawyers, and the daggone thing got all tangled up on some ice and went over the edge of a cliff. The real tragedy was it was 2 seats empty.
My wife's not here because she's a lawyer.
Oh, my. What type of lawyer is she?
Family court.
It's a little bit different from what some of these real estate lawyers. Man, I tell you what. It took us almost a full hour to close on a house for the kids, and they were getting a mortgage, and it took almost 40 minutes to close on a little house that I sold where the guy was paying cash. All they had to do was pass me a check. But they had more forms, more stuff, more disclaimers, more golly, and you can't do nothing without getting by them.
10 acres beside us closed. It was at the first of the year, and we had just bought it from my in-laws across the road, and it took forever to get that one done for a reason I cannot explain. Nobody could. It just made no sense to me whatsoever.
The longer it took, the more billable hours it was, and the price kept going up and up and up.
Working.
I'll tell you what, it's kind of like some of our good government. I used to work with South Carolina DHEC, and they would have these inspectors come out and look at your x-ray equipment. Well, if they wanted to move up the food chain in the department, they would start writing problems up that they saw as problems that weren't problems, so that they could write a new regulation, so that they could enforce more rules, so that they could find more problems to write more rules to enforce more problems. It's a self-perpetuating... Well, never mind.
Come sit in your driveway and we can continue this conversation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 3 bags full...
Time, I'm going to sign off. I've got to get things squared away so I can get out the door here shortly. I will holler at you after a while. May even come by and knock on your door.
About where I am, don't you?
I know exactly where you are.
Come on by anytime. Just give me about a 5-minute heads up warning so I make sure I'm not running around in my road, because that's what I'm still doing this morning. That would just ruin your day. So you have a good day. Be safe out there. Be healthy. KO4, TJQ, KN4, BWA, clear.
W4FCM.
Thank you.
W4FCM.
DJWK and 4VWA.
K4VWA, W4DJW, back at home.
Roger, roger. Listen, I just wanted to let you know the little battery issue I had the other day?
Yeah, with that one cell?
Well, that battery charged up just absolutely normal, went to full charge. All the cells seemed to be pretty much equalized out. And I've run it down twice. I've drained it back down and charged it back up two more times, and it seems to be fine. But my other battery that I thought was good, I've tested my equipment, and it comes up on my charger and says connection error. So anyhow, the one I thought was good is bad, and the one I thought I might have a problem with seems to be checking out just fine, but I am going to go ahead and order me two more.
Yeah, you don't want to have a crash because of the battery. If they're in question, unless you can really nail down exactly what it was, not worth the risk, I don't think. At least it isn't to me.
I know what you mean. Now, curiosity, what kind of batteries have you been buying lately? You've been buying the, what's the name of it? Starts with an O. Ocon? Or the, let's see, there's one that was, I think it was Eternity. And then there was another one, though. But I'm not buying the Spectrum battery.
Okay, I had to walk across the room to pick up a couple of them. So for the FPV, like the Dolphin or the Bloody Wonder, OVONIC, OVONIC, 1300s, that's the lightweight stuff. And then for the heavyweight stuff, the Lizdar, L-I-Z, RCBattery.com has, if you go to RCBattery.com, it's what they carry. And they carry a lot of them, different sizes and everything. I even have some of them that I'm waiting for them to tell me when they come back in stock. LIPERIOR, without a, the way they, the font that they use makes it impossible to tell, because it's just a bar. It doesn't tell you if that's an L or an I. LIPERLAR, maybe? Anyway, if you go to rcbattery.com, you'll see them.
Ovonic. Ovonic was one of them I've had some pretty good luck with. Have you got any of those?
Those are the 1300s that I use for the Bloody Wonder or the Dolphin. So, yeah, those are pretty, so far, those have turned out to be pretty good.
Okay, all right. And can you remember the name of the other ones?
Well, I do use some from Get FPV that are, hang on just a second, let me go get one. So the ones that you get from Get FPV are called Lumineer, and they're decent. They're not the best in the world, but they're pretty, they make pretty good transmitter batteries. And some of the routine airplane flying batteries. Lumineer, L-U-M-E-N-I-E-R.
I really, somebody's here, W4FCM sign.
Sorry, Fred. You want to go ahead and try again?
Yeah, he's not up evidently, Dave. Thank you, though. KD4FDI, W4FCM. I guess younger people don't. W4FCM, son.
Hey, Fred. I'm pretty sure I heard him roll over onto the microphone this morning, and I heard some snoring.
Well, it surprised me. He lives in Easley. Got a nice house with a nice dark bedroom. So he lives near Gary, KD4FDI. All right, thanks, guys. You're very kind. Let me try, but maybe later, W4FCM, son.
Take care, Fred, and jump in there anytime. So did you get the RCBattery.com one? If you go there, you'll see they've got two different types, one that's run-of-the-mill and the other one that's high dollar. Their batteries are turning out to last longer than anything I've ever had before.
Batteries for handheld?
No, these are lithium polymer batteries for flying airplanes.
Yeah, didn't even notice it, but yeah, my FT60s have lithium ion. They run forever, for weeks on a lithium ion, so much better than the old NICAD. W4FCM sign.
Yeah, lithium ion's good, too, for airplanes. You just don't get the punch you get with lithium polymer. But they're both very valuable for depending on what you need. Did you go to rcbattery.com yet, Steve?
No, not yet, but I am looking over here at Amazon, and they've got the Ovonic, and I've had some really good luck with that Ovonic. They got an Ovonic 3S, 1300 mAh, 80C, for $16.99. That's not too bad.
Well, try them out if you want. I mean, we'll never know if we don't try other things out. But the RC batteries have a new technology, and they're sharing it with everybody at a greatly reduced cost. I'm leaving that other one that I used to get, the ones that have the flames on the battery, the ones that cost $200-$300 a battery, to switch over to rcbattery.com because they're doing a better job.
As we speak, it's rcbattery.com.
Yeah, that's the one. I'm leaving Maxamp. .com. Maxamp used to be the best, but you paid through the nose for it. But it's the only place you could get it. But now RC Batteries got these new technology batteries. The ones that I would fly that mid motor pusher Delta and fly it really hard for 10 minutes and bring it down and land it and get the battery out, it'd be cool as a cucumber. I've never had that happen. That's incredible.
They got the Liperior. I'm playing words for superior, I guess. Liperior. But that's just a 35C, and it's 11. Well, here we go. Let me look at this just a second. They've got a 65C for $10. Good Lord, but that's a 4S. That's a 3S. Let me look here a second.
Yeah, you're doing the right thing. You got to look at the milliamps, the depletion rate, and look at the connector on the end, too, because they use different kind of connectors. I've had to take them off and put the kind I need on there, although they're using a better connector. And I should be changing my rigs out to use the bigger connector, but I just haven't done it yet. But they seem to have it going. But you do have to pay attention to what size you need, what shape you need, and, you know, the charge-discharge rate, the C rating. But you can find a really good battery there. You can put a ton of load on it, and it just now they are a little bit larger. They're bigger. I don't know what the new technology is requiring them to take up more space, but they're not heavier.
Well, they've got a 1300 mAh 3S, but it's only 35C, and it's $12. That's not too bad, but I'd like to get my C rating up a little bit, and it looks like it moves up a dollar for every 10C.
Well, you're on the right path. Continue to look for what you want, and if you don't want, get put on the list. If they don't have what you're exactly asking for, put it on the list, and it will come back around. I get emails from them telling me when something that I said, put me on a watch list for when this one comes back, and they come back, and then I snatch them up. Because they go really quick, because I think a lot of people are converting over to them. I've seen Gearhart out there with these batteries as well. He's switching over to them, too.
KD4FDI, W4FCM. Timbadum, guess not. W4FCM. Thanks, guys.
No, that's an 850 mAh. No, that's not it. On the 1300s, they're a little bit lacking. They've only got 35C. And they've got that, over at Amazon, they've got that 80C. Let's see here. Let me pull that back up. They've got the 80C. Yeah, okay. 1300 mAh 3S 80C with my my connector for $16.99, hey, I mean, it's worth the aggravation to go ahead and get that with the ADC for the, you know, for the $3. Shoot. So I think that's what I'm going to do. And they'll be here on Monday.
Hey, you never know if you don't try. Give it a try. They might turn out to be pretty good. Yeah, I see 45C on the 1300, and they look like they're longer and flatter than the ones that we've been using.
And I've used these Ovonic before, and they seem to be good batteries. So I'm gonna try to. I'm gonna go ahead and grab a couple of these. So, all right. Well, so what else is going on, big guy? Anything fun?
Well, I did learn something. I've been doing a lot of experimenting with Raspberry Pi cameras, and I did learn that the muscle in night vision isn't the camera. The muscle in night vision is the IR lights, the floodlights, the IR floodlights that you got to put up that in order to make night vision work. So I thought you could just leave the shutter open longer, and it would collect more light, and it would compensate for the darkness. But it's not just that. You need some invisible light.
Now that's with infrared, and yeah, I've been through that and experienced that with my night vision scopes on rifles for quite a while. Now, and are you wanting to do this on an airplane?
No, but I do see airplane guys doing the same thing. I mean, eventually we might get play around with that because you can fly at night now if you get one of those approvals from Larry, I forget what the name of that, what that application is that you run to get approval to fly somewhere that's not like at a sanctioned airfield. But whatever that is, you can get approval to fly at night. So once we get really good flying the daytime, it'd be like those, I don't know if you've watched any of those videos where they're doing follow me at night, but yeah, that would be cool too. And you need night vision for that. And it's the colors that you get in night vision cameras, as long as you can illuminate with IR the area, which humans can't see, right? So people would see you out having a blast flying. You could see it plain as day. They couldn't see the airplane at all. They could hear it, but they couldn't see it.
One reason the military has gone away from infrared is because if you have a set of night vision goggles on, like you said, you have to project an IR light out into the area. And if you have night vision goggles on, you can see that light being projected. What most of them have gone to is like a FLIR. I think it's called FLIR, but it's where it reads heat. And, man, from what I've seen, the heat-sensitive images are much, much, much greater detail.
Well, that's for, like, if you're looking for a person running through the woods, all right, they're running from you, like the police do at nighttime, and they're hunting for somebody running from them. Yeah, absolutely, that works really good. But the stuff that's all cold outside, like the trees and the dirt and the picnic tables and the buildings, they're black because they're cold. They're as cold as the ambient temperature, so you see nothing. You just see the person running. That wouldn't work for flying an airplane. You need to see the building that you're about to run into. And that's why you turn on the light. But it's invisible light. What do you mean by you can see it? You can't. Human eyes can't see infrared.
Oh, yes, but see, if you have a pair of night vision goggles on and you have an IR projector, the next guy with a set of night vision goggles on can spot you just like you're standing there with a flashlight.
Okay, I get it. Okay, yeah. If somebody else has night vision glasses on, then they can see it. That's not going to be an issue for us, right? Nobody's shooting at us.
This is true. But as far as that heat sensing stuff, man, I've seen some of the images coming out of that, and I mean, the detail is incredible. You need to go over and look at some videos on that. The heat differential on leaves on a tree is crazy good. And, you know, you're talking about looking at the side of a building? Oh, shoot. you can delineate the difference in temperature between the mortar and the brick. It's unbelievable. It is crazy good.
Well, I've seen some of those guys that fly those little multi-rotors, the little ones, the little speed demons. I've seen them talking about using that for flying at night, but I haven't ever looked at any of their videos to see how good it really is.
Video on those, but on a firearm, the heat-sensitive type scopes that they use for hunting wild hogs and stuff like that, oh my gosh, it's unreal.
Well, you'd have to compare, I guess, to learn. Infrared's pretty good. You can see, it looks like you're in a wonderland. It looks like when it snows, it looks, but you can see everything. You can see the inside under the tree, above, around the tree. You can see the dog barking. You can see everything just as plain as day. It's just all tinted to one color, pink or green or blue, whatever you can control that with your camera parameters. Whereas I think that FLIR that you're looking at, FLIR, whatever it is, I think that's just plain old black and white, or shades of gray is all you get. So I don't know. I'd have to watch a bunch of videos to switch from IR, infrared, to FLIR. I know FLIR is good, FLIR. I know it's good, but I think it's better for chasing somebody through the woods than it is for flying an airplane through the woods.
Well, I was just thinking more in terms of detail of image and the range that you can get, because you could. I've seen the images that they get with these things, and you can see out past the 200 yards just great, where most of the stuff that I've seen on the IR, your IR projector is, unless it's incredibly strong, you're not going to get any real detail out past about, at max 50 yards.
Yeah, you're right. You got it. I mean, that's what I learned after getting, I got some new cameras in yesterday, and I ran one of the two all night long last night, taking an image every other second, and getting it, so that way you don't lose, it's not like a video where you're doing 40 frames, it's 30 to 60 to 120 frames a second, and if you try to look at a still of that, it's just super grainy. But, I did come to the realization after running that you've got to have something to illuminate it with IR. And I'm looking at a military thermal night vision with FLIR, and it does, I see what you're saying. It goes further, because it doesn't have to, you don't have to light anything up. I think each has its own advantage. I don't know though. You'd have to really, I think either would probably work. Might just be a function of what you're used to. And that's another thing. I was just watching a guy run across the field. Every foot that he left on the field, it left a trail to where he is. So you can follow his footsteps even after he's gone.
Example of just how sensitive this temperature differential reading is, man. I mean, it is just, it's incredible.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It would probably be doable, but I like the color that you get out of IR a lot better. It gets some really good colors. I guess 6 of 1, half a dozen of another. It depends on what you get used to. We would have to have some lights on the airplanes, infrared lights, if we use IR. But I think both technologies are available.
Well, we're not quite to that point yet. Let's get me up to the FPV, and then we'll start looking at night flying. Man. Had you put any more thought into a way to, how should I say this, target signals from the air?
Oh, triangulate? Triangulate? You mean direction finding?
Yep.
I always think about that. We need a couple more people to get one of those Australian sniffers. and we can lift those things up and do a 360-degree rotation, and you mix that with a application that runs on iPhones, Apple products, and all three of you are running, all three of you connect together, so it becomes one big grid, and you pinpoint the person in 10 seconds, right? They key up for 3 seconds, you've got them.